Let's all read the title of the conference again. Okay, ready? Where are you? The experience of Christ in Romans. So as our brother David opened this retreat with this question, where are you? I would also like to begin in Genesis. Okay, where are you? That was God's way of preaching the gospel. Actually, Jehovah knew where Adam and Eve were. And if you read the story, if I was Jehovah, I would have asked, instead of where are you, I would have asked, Adam, what have you done? Why are you hiding? You know, but he asked, where are you? This was such a loving seeking. You know, actually, we think we were seeking the Lord. We pray a lot of times when we labor on the college campuses, we pray for the seekers. And maybe there are some that are seeking, but really most of us are not seeking. We're seeking something else. Actually, the Lord is the one who's seeking us. Every one of us is here tonight because of the Lord's seeking of us. And he just asks us in a gentle, loving way, where are we? Okay, I would like to begin all the way from the beginning, if that's okay. All right? So that was Genesis 3. We're going to go back to Genesis 1. There's a verse that's almost always in our memorization, but not this time. Genesis 1:26. I recently tried to recite this in front of a group of young people, and I still couldn't get the birds and the cows. So forget about that, okay? But there's two really important words from that verse. What are they? Image, dominion. Okay, so let's just worry about image tonight. Okay, so we were made according to God's image and after his likeness. And these two are very similar. That just basically means if you want to see what God is like, you just have to look at man. You just have to look at man. All of the best, brightest, loveliest features of humanity are just a reflection of who God is. Your virtues, your love, your courage, your steadfastness, whatever is positive within man, that's from God. That just reflects God's divine attributes in our human virtues, okay? So remember that. We were made in God's image. But what's interesting is one chapter later in Genesis 2, speaking of Adam, God says, regarding Adam, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. In a way, he was saying that this man, Adam, by himself, was not adequate. He was lacking something. And you know, Adam went through and he named all the animals, but then it says, for Adam, there was found no counterpart. He didn't have a match. What does this indicate about God and man? Well, about man, it indicates it's not good for us to be alone. It's really not good, right? It's really good if you are a young person and you're graduating from high school and you're choosing a college. Just in principle, it's good to consider a college where there's a church life. It's even better if you can go to a college that has other young people who are loving the Lord and pursuing the Lord. It's good not to be alone on the college campuses, right? After college, you're working. You're in your 20s, 30s. It's good not to remain alone. Am I right, Caleb? It's good not to be alone, right? He's alone now. In the deepest sense, he's alone. I mean, he's with the brothers, but that's not adequate, right? That's like Adam and all the animals. Being in the brothers' house is just, okay, you know, these animals are nice. But the deepest need for Caleb needs to be fulfilled, and he's taking care of business, okay? So we don't have to worry about Caleb anymore. But what that indicates about God, think about it, brothers and sisters. God made us in his image, and then he said it's not good for man to be alone. This means that God himself needs a counterpart. I think we're all pretty clear on this, even from our singing this weekend, right? What's deep within him is a need for a counterpart. And a counterpart just means a complement. It actually means like in parallel, something that's in parallel. So what God wants is a counterpart that matches him. And so we know what happened, right? God caused Adam to sleep. That's a picture of Christ being put to death on the cross. And then out of Adam's side, God took a rib. And God did not create the woman like he did with Adam, but it said he built the woman. This is a picture of the church today being built out of what came out of the side of Christ. When they pierced the Lord's side on the cross, out came blood and out came water. That actually matches Romans, right? The gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The blood took care of the righteous requirements of God's law. And the flowing water signifies God coming to us as abundant grace. Okay, so he's building the church. And then when Adam saw this woman, she wasn't named yet. Actually, he called her woman, but that wasn't her name. That's just what she was. When he saw her, what was his reaction? He was like, "Who's this?" No. He said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Right? "This one shall be called woman." Something like that, right? "She came out of me." So this is a wonderful reaction. I hope someday you young people, at the right time, when you have the Lord's leading, you'll also have that feeling towards somebody. "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Am I right, Brother Wayne? Yes. Yes. He agrees with me, right? Bone of my bone. So this means when the Lord sees us, he says, this is my match. This is my counterpart. This one came out from me, right? So that's what we're going through. That's what the Lord is bringing us through today, is he needs a counterpart. Okay, so let's look at message three on page 13. And we are going to talk tonight a little bit about marriage, okay? Let's read the title.
We need to marry Christ.
Okay, so there's a lot in this title, and we'll get to it. Freed means at some point we're not free. We're under bondage, under slavery, okay? And then we're going to marry Christ. So what is it that we need to be freed from so that we could marry Christ? Well, let me go on a little bit with the story in Genesis, okay? So now we're back at Genesis 3, where Brother David started us off, and he mentioned that man took in the wrong tree, right? And how did that happen? We know that there was a crafty serpent, a crafty animal, and he came and he deceived the woman. He went to the woman and he caused her to doubt God's word, right? He said, "Did God say?" He came with a question mark. He caused her to doubt God's word. Young people, this is one of the enemy's stratagems. This is one of the things the enemy is doing today to you, to us. He wants us to doubt God's word. Okay, so be on the guard of anything that you would see online, anything that you might hear, any thought that might come in like an arrow, you know, like a flaming arrow or a flaming dart into your mind that might cause you to doubt God's word. You need to be clear. The source of that doubt is the crafty serpent. The source of that doubt is the devil. I enjoyed a verse recently, and it's for the young men, okay? Young brothers, write down this reference. 1 John 2:14. I really love this. The second part of the verse says, "I have written to you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Okay, that's not in our verse memorization, but I hope you would all take this verse down. The way we overcome the enemy's doubts is to have the word of God abiding in us. This causes us to overcome. This makes us rapture ready, and this will cause us to not love the world, but to love the Lord. Okay, so that's the outward reason for man's fall. But there was a deeper, more significant inward reason for the fall was that Eve, not yet named Eve actually, the woman, she responded, she engaged directly with the serpent instead of going to her husband. I guess they were married already. There was no wedding or anything. That was it, you know. This your wife? Now you're married. She didn't go to her husband. She didn't exercise her spirit, we could say, meaning she didn't go to contact God. They lived in God's presence, but it couldn't have been always because the serpent found an opportunity to come in. And rather than go to her husband or go to God, she just directly engaged and she was deceived and she took of the wrong tree. Okay, so we can say that Eve, part of the reason for the fall, the main reason for the fall was that Eve assumed the headship. Actually, in God's eyes, Adam was the head over the woman. Okay? And man, and God is the head of man. Okay? So as a result of the fall, God disciplined both of them, both the woman and the man. Now, the woman was deceived. The man was not deceived. The man was like, I'm adding my own words, okay? The man was like, what did you do? All right, I guess I better just, you go, I go, right? He was not deceived. We know from, I think it's 1 Peter. It says he wasn't deceived. But out of love for the woman, he partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil as well. So they both fell, okay? Now, the discipline for the man was he would have to toil by the sweat of his brow. He would have to work all the days of his life. The woman, she had two things of discipline. One was she would suffer in childbearing, okay? But that's, anyways, I can't get into it, but it's a wonderful thing, sisters, okay? It actually fulfills God's purpose, okay? But here's the other thing. The woman would have to be subject to the man. She would have to be ruled by her husband. Okay, now why did the devil go to the woman? I'm picking on you, sisters, just for a little bit, okay? But then it's just, we're all going to be in it together, okay? We love you all. Just like Adam loved Eve, we're all in it together. We're all fallen together, okay? So, what was I talking about? The woman was subject to the man, okay? Now listen, in God's eyes, actually, it's wonderful that we have this picture of the wife being subject to the husband. Because this shows us our proper relationship with God. Okay? All of us, actually, in God's eyes, are the female. The reason there is man and woman is so that we can see the reality of the corporate relationship we have with God, which is that we are all the female. So just as in a proper marriage, the wife should be subject to the husband, we should all corporately be subject to God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Today, in our modern society, with all the teachings and all the philosophies and all the stuff going around, there's a huge attack on marriage, right? Even we have many concepts about marriage. If I say, oh, you're going to be subject to your husband, inwardly there's a, we'll see about that, right? Yeah. Or I've heard in my own household, I'm never getting married, right? And that's all, it's all funny and all, okay? It's all right, because I know you guys are going to get married. But you can't help it, okay? But the attack on marriage throughout our society is actually an attack on man's relationship with God. If you have no marriage in a healthy way, then you also cannot have a healthy relationship with God corporately. Our society has lost its relationship with God, just like it's lost its understanding of what marriage even is. Okay, so I don't want to get too far off the deep end, but we are the female. Amen. He is our husband. Amen. Okay, let's read point 1A. Let's just jump to A. I'll get back to 1 later. Let's read A. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 54:5. This is the only verse I'm going to ask you to make sure you memorize, okay? And I don't even insist that you memorize the whole thing, just up to the word husband. Okay, let's all read that together.
For your neighbor is your husband.
Actually, let's read the whole verse.
For your
Okay, let's turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, for your maker is your husband. Okay, turn to another neighbor. Tell them the same thing. Okay, how about you all speak it to me? Ready? Okay, so I think we're clear, right? Your maker is your husband. He is our husband. And we are becoming his counterpart. Okay, and there's something wonderful about the females. 1 Peter 3 regards the female as the weaker vessel. Okay, sisters, are you weaker?
Yes.
Are you weaker?
Yeah, probably.
Alice, what if they started letting boys play lacrosse? How would that go? What if they said, you and the boys just have to play together? That would not go well. She would get beat to the ground. Okay. And Alice is pretty tough. She plays defense, you know. Just, anyways. Saints, it's actually wonderful to be weak. Okay? It is a superpower to be weak and to know you're weak. Just like we were sharing earlier that we need to depend on God as grace, our weakness allows us to enjoy grace. It's wonderful to be weak. We should boast. We should boast in our weakness. Okay? Look at the verses from message 2. I'll just read to you. Okay, this is from page 10, 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is the Apostle Paul. Okay? Maybe one of the strongest believers ever in his spirit, but in his body, he had many problems. Okay? And he says this, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Does that remind you of anything? Genesis. How about Genesis? Or what chapter was that when God appeared to Abraham after 13 years? Anyways, I am the all-sufficient God, right? My grace is sufficient for you. Listen, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ might tabernacle over me. Brothers, it's wonderful to be weak before the Lord. It's wonderful to say, Lord, I can't do it. I need you as grace. Your grace is all sufficient. Another verse for the brothers, okay? 1 Peter 5:5. If you read the whole verse, it's actually directly addressed to the young men as well, the young brothers. But it says that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. This word resist, brothers, is not just like passive, aggressive, I'm going to ignore you for 13 years. Resist, actually, if you look at the footnote, it's a strong word that implies like an army preparing for the enemy. That is how God feels towards our pride, towards our own strength. He resists. So it's wonderful, brothers, to realize in your life and in your experience that you're just weak and that you need him as grace. This is actually the proper life, the proper female life before God. We're just dependent on him for everything, right? He put us in the garden before the tree of life so that he could be everything to us. He's our shield. He's our provider. There's that line in the song, right? I have found a new provider. That means I have found my husband. He takes care of everything for me, right? Sounds weird to say, right? I have my own job. I have my own career. I have my own life, right? This is how we are towards the Lord, right? But he is our provider. He wants to be everything to us. Okay, let's go on. Okay, let's read B and both of those points, okay? Okay, so we need to understand what this term, the old man, is. There's a lot of good definitions in the footnotes, Basically, the old man is what we are apart from Christ as a result of the fall. Okay? It's just old. It's old. And when I say old, I don't mean like it has gray hair and like an elderly man. You know, in a few weeks, I'm really excited. We're going to have our gospel camp. David mentioned it. I didn't realize Rachel, she was at Summer School of Truth like 2 years ago. But anyway, she's a little ahead of herself. But even our 11 and 12-year-olds, our 5th and 6th graders, 7th graders, they're humanly young, but they are old. They're old. They may be older than you. They may be older than I am, right? What is to be old? It's just to be separated from God. What is it to be new? New is just God himself. Actually, he's making us a new creation, right? He's making us a new man. He's building up his body. I wish Brother Newman Hahn was here, right? He is the new man example, right? And eventually, our destiny is to be the new Jerusalem. And as we're here, we're listening to the word of God, we're enjoying, we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind. That means God is adding himself to us as newness. So we could have a brother here who's 100 years old, and he could be newer than all of us, right? We've heard the testimonies concerning those who have come before us. This brother was quite elderly, but he was the newest among all of us, right? That is what the old man, that's what it is to be new and what it is to be old. Okay, so we have an old man. This old man is just full of corruption. This old man is decaying. Let's read Ephesians 4:22. I'll read it to you on page 14. That you put off as regards your former manner of life, the old man, which is being corrupted according to the lusts of the deceit. Okay, so that is the old man. It's just being corrupted. But we have, I'd like to say one more thing. Okay, let me go back. Last thing about Genesis. You know, as a result of the old man, we live independent of God. We live separate from God. And we separate ourselves from God's presence. So Adam and Eve, you know the story. In Genesis 4, they had two more sons, Cain and Abel. And I just enjoyed this recently, and I just want to share this one point with you all. You know, we know Cain murdered his brother out of jealousy and anger, right? Because God didn't accept his offering. Cain invented his own way of worshiping God, okay? God gave, if you go back and you read that story, I was really impressed. God gave Cain every single opportunity to repent. Even after he killed his brother, he gave Cain an opportunity. Okay, but Cain was so, it just took that little bit for Cain to be filled with pride, filled with his arrogance. He was a very capable person. After that, he built his own city, right? He established his own culture apart from God. But it said that he was, now I'm standing up here, I forget the exact term. But it was like he was cast off from the earth. Something like that, right? He was separated from the face of the earth. If you go back and you read. Okay, and he said that about himself. He was saying, I'm a fugitive. I'm a wanderer. I have no place on this earth. Okay, that is the result of living independent of God as your own husband. And actually, this makes a, there's, if you read the life study of Genesis, this really touched me. The man was made for God, and the earth was made for man, okay? So if we don't live a life for God's purpose, it's like we have no reason to be on the earth. Your life means nothing. There's no reason for you to be here, okay? That is the unfortunate reality. Actually, the reason for you to remain on the earth is for you to repent and to come back to him, right? To receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. But the enemy may come to you at times in your life, young people, and he might tell you the lie. You have no reason to be on the earth. You are a fugitive. You're a wanderer. And when he comes with that lie, I want you to reject it. Okay, I want you to respond. Actually, I've been regenerated unto a living hope. Amen. My life is full of meaning. I'm not a fugitive. I have the gift of righteousness. I've received it. And I can always come home to the Father's house and enjoy the abundance of grace. Okay, I hope you will never accept the enemy's lie that there's no reason for you to be here anymore. Right? Your lives are full of meaning because you can be a part of the counterpart of Christ. You have a husband who is your maker. Okay? I really wanted to share that, even though it's a little bit of a sidebar. Okay, let's read C together. How about we all read C and then brothers 1, sisters 2. Amen. Okay, so we have wonderful news. We have this old man. This old man is a big problem, but this old man was crucified with Christ. Amen. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him. Okay, so when Christ died on the cross, we died there with him, right? We sang the song, I am crucified with Christ. That I is the old man. Okay, that's the old I. And it's no longer I who live. Again, old I. All right? But does that mean we just stop living? What does the rest of the verse say? But it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live. You just said you were crucified with Christ. What happened? We have to see. We have a dual status, brothers and sisters, okay? Our old man was crucified, but we've received Christ. So there is also a new me. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a new man.
Amen.
And this one lives, even though he still lives in the flesh, we live in faith.
Amen.
The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Okay? This is a fact. We've been talking about facts. We just need to say amen to the word of God.
Amen.
When we enjoy the Lord and we exercise the Spirit, we turn that fact into our experience. Right? The old man has a manner of life that's separate from God. But when we tell the Lord we love him, when we call on his name, actually, you know, the third generation, Enosh, was it third? No, second generation. Enosh was third generation. You know, his name meant weak and frail. So he must have definitely realized his weakness. And he was the first person to call on the name of the Lord. The best way to acknowledge your weakness and to receive grace is to call on the name of the Lord. Okay? When we call on the Lord, the reality of our old man being crucified becomes real. Okay, let's go to D, and then I'll wrap up in a couple minutes. Let's do the same way. All together, then how about sisters 1, brothers 2? Okay, sorry, that was confusing. So we also have this other thing called the law, okay? I don't want to spend too much time on it, but God gave man the law in Exodus, and man's reaction to receiving the law was, all that Jehovah has spoken, we will do. Who said amen to that? Paul, when you were raising your son, wouldn't you have loved him to say, Dad, all that you say, I will do.
Well,
I'm going to be honest. I would love it if my kid said that, right? Actually, Jehovah did not like that reaction. Actually, that offended him. He doesn't want us to enthusiastically vow to do his law. Actually, he gave the law for a different reason. He gave man the law so that man could know who he is. He wanted to show man. He couldn't physically appear to man yet, right? Moses tried to see God, and God was like, no, you're going to have to hide in this crack while I put my hand over you. And you can see my back. It's an amazing story in Exodus, okay? Man could not see God face to face, okay? But through God's law, we could know him. That was God's intention. Also, God wanted to expose man, to show man that man could never meet the righteous requirement of the law. Now, before God gave the law, how would man even know what was a sin and what was not a sin? Unless God told him. Okay, let me go back and read Romans 3:20. This is really interesting. This is from the first message. And I'll just read the last part, okay? Because out of the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified before him. Now listen, for through the law is the clear knowledge of sin. Okay, so the law was not given for us to keep, but the law was given for us to know God and to know our real condition before him. Okay, it was to expose us. So, praise the Lord. We love the word of God. We even love his law. God's intention was never for us to keep the law. Actually, God's intention was just for us to behold him, to spend time with him, to walk before him. I'll just close with these wonderful verses, okay? Let me read to you from Exodus. So I mentioned that God gave man the law in Exodus. At the beginning of Exodus, you guys know the story, right? Man was enslaved in Egypt under Pharaoh, who's a type of Satan, also the old man. And what did God say through Moses and Aaron? Chapter 5, verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says Jehovah, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." He didn't say, "Let my people go that I could give them the law and they could be really good." Right? He wanted to be a feast to us. He wanted us to enjoy him. And listen to this response from Pharaoh. This is really our old man, okay? And Pharaoh said, "Who is Jehovah that I should listen to his voice?" Right? That's a proud, arrogant response. We want the opposite response, right? We want to listen to his voice, to let Israel go. "Who is Jehovah that I should listen to his voice and let Israel go? I do not know Jehovah, and I also will not let Israel go." So instead of this reaction, we want to be those who know our God. We know our God through his word. We know our God by beholding him, by depending on him. Okay, so this is our living as a wife before Jehovah. This is the experience of coming out of the flesh, coming into the spirit, which we'll talk about more. But I'm going to hand it off to Brother Paul.
Can we declare, "Lord Jesus, I love you" three times?
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen. Thank you. So through our brother's help, we know as a Christian, we actually have a dual status, right? One status, according to the book of Romans, it says that is the old man. And this old man actually did something not quite good. And what does this old man do? He assumed, or this old man assumed, the husband position, right? And as our brother shared to us, when God created man, God actually wanted this man to be a corporate wife to him. So here, can we read point E together? "Because our old husband, our old man has died, we are free to marry another husband, even the resurrected Christ who gave himself up for us." So through this, we know all along our God is looking for a counterpart. But the problem is that we, supposed to be his counterpart, we assumed the husband position. We went ahead making decisions, doing many things that's against God. Right? And this all being done in the old man. So praise the Lord. At the time we believe and baptize, this old man was buried with the Lord, with the Lord in his death, and also through his resurrection, coming out a new person. And this new person actually is the proper wife to the Lord himself. So here in this point, it talks about that when our old husband, which is our old man, die, then we are free to marry Christ. You know, in the modern law, we know if there's a couple, a husband and a wife, right? If the wife or husband to find another counterpart, that's unlawful, right? That's against the law. But the only way this wife or this husband can be free is that the other counterpart pass away. So praise the Lord, through his death and resurrection, through our joining ourselves to his death and resurrection, our old man also died with him. For this, I want to share a little story as an opening. I just want to tell you, the first time I met my wife, I was taking a vacation from my military service. At that day, I was meant to visit a brother, but that brother wasn't there, but his house was open to the full-time serving one to rest there. In 1985, they actually has a full-time training already. There are several sisters resting there, and I saw a sister, quite awkward. She's trailing other sister, walking around, just like a tail of a caterpillar. In my heart, I just felt, what kind of awkward sister this is? I felt, if I want to marry, I will never marry this kind of sister. And the rest is a history. Why I'm saying this, let's put this, let's suppose Eve was like my wife at that time, okay? Very timid, always hide behind Adam, never talk to stranger. Do you think Satan has a way to tempt her? So, you know, when I was thinking about this, we actually all should be the wife, right? To Satan, to God's enemy, we should be always timid, should always be awkward, so that Satan, God's enemy, has no way to talk to us, to tempt us. So I hope that this will give us a kind of a setting to know what the wife should do. You know, to me, I feel a wife has two duties. The first is to submit herself to the husband. The second is to produce the offspring, or according to the outline, to bear fruit, right, for the husband. So can we come to Roman number 2? Let's read together. As those married to Christ, we can bear fruit to God. Okay, brother, point A. Sister B.
Those married to Christ can bring forth God as fruit to God.
Can we flip to page 14? And let's read Romans 7, verse 4 and 5. Just verse 4 and 5. Amen.
So then, my brothers,
you also have been made dead to the law. To him who has been raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the person for the sins which acted through the law operate in our marriage, fruit to death.
So it doesn't matter you are a believer or you are not a believer, you bear fruit. You bear fruit. It bears different kind of fruit. When you are in your flesh, when you are living according to the passion of the flesh, you bear fruit to death. But when you are under Christ, when you are subject yourself to Christ as his wife, you bear another kind of fruit, right? And here is the bearing fruit to God in life. So can we read point C together? Amen. As those married to Christ, we need to be joined to Christ as our husband. We must reject
Man,
two. Amen.
So here, there's a very important principle here. First is never independent. And then always depend on the Lord. And just like I want to echo our brother's speaking, that today in society, the whole marriage has been messed up, right? The whole marriage has been messed up. Long time ago, I already know in the United States, the divorce rate is 50%. So every two couple marry, one couple divorce. And not long after, in Taiwan, the divorce rate is about the same, 50%. Now coming to the mainland China, the divorce rate is also about 50%. And why is that? To me, I felt that nowadays, the marriage to people is almost like a merchandise. You know, you go to Costco, you buy something, you don't like it, you return it. Right? So today, a couple got married, and then suddenly find out, oh, we are not matching each other. So they want to return the merchandise. So is this according to God? Is this God's heart's desire? No. No, God wants to marry us, but we have to learn a great lesson, to learn to depend on Him. I think that's the greatest lesson I've been thinking about. You know, since my youth, I've been educated, I've been trained to be an independent person, right? I still remember the first time my wife asked me some question. I said, I don't know. Then she said, what kind of husband are you? Don't even know how to make decision, right? So, you know, we've been trained, we've been raised up to the point not only we are independent in the society, more so we are independent from God. This whole world is helping us to get away from God. Therefore, today when we are coming to this message, we have to unlearn everything we have learned before. I mean it, because really, if you look at your own experience, you will find out many times you are independent from God. You are making decisions independent from God. You are doing your homework independent from God, right? You are making friends independent from God. You are with your parents independent from God. Everything you do is out of yourself, right? So I just want to share a few stories to you, telling you that we actually have some saints really learn to depend on the Lord. I know there's a high school sister. When I was a young people, she actually studied in the top girls' school in Taipei. In one of the meetings, she stood up and testified. She said that the day when she had an exam, she prayed to the Lord. Does anyone pray to the Lord when they have an exam? Raise your hand. Okay, good. So when she said that, I prayed to the Lord, right away, I know what she wanted to pray. What do you think what she was praying? Huh? Eight, okay. I want to S out, right? Or I want to pass. No, she did not pray that. To my surprise, she prayed to the Lord. She said, Lord, even though I know all the answer to the question, but I don't want to do it by myself. I want to answer all the questions through you and by you. That's more than 30 years ago. Such a sister really become an inspiration to me. You know, at our conference, our serving one told us, before you do your homework, put your homework on the desk, then pray first. Pray first. Say, Lord, I'm doing homework. Please do it with me. I want to experience you while I'm doing homework. When you read the Bible, don't just read the Bible. You have to say, you have to pray to the Lord, I'm coming to you.
even though I'm reading the Bible, I want to touch you. Right? We need to do everything depend on the Lord. And that's what a wife does. Right? So today, even though maybe we are young, we don't know how to be a wife, but you know, the first things or formal things is to learn to depend on the Lord. Right? A brother will talk about which school you choose when you go to college. Right? Also, which wife or which husband to marry. Right? What kind of house you're going to buy or car. So everything in our daily life, we can learn to depend on the Lord. So here, talk about free to marry Christ. One hand, praise the Lord, we are free. But remember, we are married Christ. We need to learn to be a proper wife to Christ. So we need to really unlearn everything we have before. And really start from the beginning, learn to depend on the Lord in everything. We brothers also fellowship about a brother talking about every morning when he put on his dress, he will ask the Lord, what kind of tie I need to put on? What kind of suit I need to put on? Right? Maybe some of you feel, oh, this is too much, right? Why do I have to ask the Lord about what tie I put on? What kind of dress I should dress? And that's the way to learn how to depend on the Lord. Okay? When you face your friends, you need to say, Lord, what should I talk to my friend about? Right? I'm a believer. Maybe my friend is not a believer, or my friend is a believer in another place to meet. So what's the proper word I should speak to them? Right? Every day we encounter many, many things. But our habitual action is I just do it by myself. Right? So eventually the result is different. Right? So I hope that through this we are inspired to really learn to do everything in the Lord. Learn to fully depend on Him in everything we do. And you don't know how many things it can happen in your life every day, right? If you miss all this chance, just consider that. And when the Lord comes back, probably we will not part of that bride, right? The Lord is coming back to marry His bride. And we are here to learn to become His bride. So that one day, the Lord will be happy to marry us. And there's one more thing talking about regarding this old man. According to fact, the old man is done. The old man has died. But in our experience, sometime the old man will come back. I want to tell you a story in a senior brother shared in one of the conferences. And he said that at his childhood time, he really loved to listen to his sister tell horror story. Horror story. Does anyone like to hear or watch horror movie? Horror story? No. Okay. But this brother, in his young age, he loved to hear his sister telling him the horror story, particularly the zombie story. But at the time when he was speaking in the meeting, he said he realized that there are zombies in real life showing everywhere. And what are those zombies? The zombie is those old men not living in Christ. And then somehow get activated. So when you are not in your spirit, you can be a zombie. Right? You will find out, what did I do? Suddenly you did something that not even you can control yourself. So I just hope that we will learn through our experience that Christ will increase in us, right? We'll learn to be fully dependent on Him in everything, in your school, in your home, even in your work, right? For a period of time I was practicing, before I turn on my computer in the office, I would pray. Just like when I was in school, before I do my homework, I give that day to the Lord. I give that day's work to the Lord. And I ask the Lord to do it with me. So if you can start from these small things to practice, how wonderful it will be, right? So praise the Lord. Our old man has died with the Lord through our believing and baptism. But now we need to keep that old man in the tomb, right? By exercising our spirit. Okay, then here I want to cover a little bit regarding the fruit. The outline didn't talk about what the fruit is. I want to bring to you to some of the verses. Can this section go to Matthew chapter 7, read verse 17 through 20, okay? And this section, can you go to John chapter 15, read verse 4 and 5, okay? And this section, can you go to John chapter 15 and verse 8 and 16, okay? And this section, can you go to Romans, read chapter 6, chapter 15, verse 26 through 28. And this last section, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Okay, so can this section read first? Matthew 7, verse 17 through 20. Can you stand up and read it? Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Amen.
A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, neither can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire.
Amen.
So then by their fruits you will recognize them.
Amen. Thank you. So here the Lord was talking about man as a tree. Or actually, in particular, in this section, he was talking about Pharisees. He likened Pharisee as a tree. And then every tree will produce fruit. That means something will come out of these quote-unquote trees, right? So we as trees, there's something coming out from us. And that coming out is the fruit. So that's the basic definition of fruit in the Bible. Okay, this section, can you read John 15, verse 4 and 5? Amen.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen. So here in this portion, it talks about bearing fruit. What kind of bearing fruit? It's to bring people to salvation. We are as the vine tree, right? Vine tree will bear fruit, which is grape, right? So here in this portion, it talks about bearing fruit. It means that you bring people to salvation. You gain those new ones as a fruit for the Lord. Okay, this section, John chapter 15, verse 8 and 16. Amen. So here again, talking about bear fruit as bringing new ones to the Lord. Amen. And when we do this, this fruit will remain. Amen. Okay, this section, can you read Romans chapter 6, chapter 15, verse 26 through 28? Romans chapter 15, verse 26 through 28. Amen.
For they were pleased to do it, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they ought also to do service to them in material things.
When therefore
I have finished this and have sealed
Amen. Thank you. So here it talks about there are some contributions, means financial donations from the churches outside of Jerusalem. At that time, Jerusalem was having some situation. And the Apostle Paul wrote this, talking about this contribution as a fruit. Do you know whatever you put into the offering box is a fruit? Just think about it. I don't want to expound too much because of time. Okay, this section, can you read Galatians verse five, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23?
Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against all things there is no law.
Amen. So the third kind of fruit actually is the virtue, the way we conduct ourselves, right? So at least in the Bible, there are these three kinds of fruit. The first is the new ones you brought to the Lord. The second is your donation, your contribution financially to the churches. The third one is your virtue, your conduct. All these, if you read carefully, you will realize that all this can only be done in the Lord, right? So this is also regarding that we need to depend on the Lord. You are not just, I have heart, I want to just put into the offering box. That's not going to work. But rather, you can say, Lord, I have this much money in my hands. And what do you want me to do, right? And when I was a student, I learned to put money into the offering box. And I actually do some accounting. I have my ledger of offering. And I was shameful eventually because I realized whatever the Lord gave me back cannot compare than what I have given to the Lord. What I give to the Lord is very, very small portion, but in return, the Lord gave me so much. As a student, at that time I don't earn money. I can have that kind of experience. I really appreciate the Lord. So you are not too young to donate the money, but you have to do it according to the Lord. I hope that all this will help us learn to depend on the Lord. Praise the Lord, we are free, free from all men, and we are marrying the Lord. Amen. And I hope that we will all learn how to depend on the Lord. Amen. And anytime, remember, when you are doing things independent from the Lord, you are a zombie acting on your own. So praise the Lord, for we are free to marry the Lord. Amen. So Brother Will has some announcements.